This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. We're just a week away from the summer solstice. The day length will be as long as it's going to get, and it's a great time to be outdoors. We've had some incredible weather. We've had some bizarre weather. We've had it all, but right now we're in the swing of things, looking summer-like, cool mornings still, and a great time of the year to think about all things outdoors, growing plants and the natural world. And we have Jadel Kavlin of Little Waldo Farms on the phone with us. Welcome to the show, Jadel.
Thanks for having me, Leo.
Absolutely. A pleasure to talk to you. And you've been teaching and outreaching on behalf of the small beings that help the plant world and people along the way, those pollinators. It's been a big part of what you have helped the neighborhood to get to know better. According to your website, and just by me observing, you know, all of your efforts, I see you encouraging others to understand the health benefits and more sustainable lifestyle that growing plants can provide. You do that on multiple fronts, and one of the big ones is your homestead is a working small farm, and you are promoting the fun of being outdoors and learning about pollinators at a cool event. Now, how many years are we into the pollinator party at Little Waldo Farms? Is this the third or fourth year, or is it longer? It's a blur.
Yeah, it's actually the third official year, and we did kind of a mock one the very first time, the first year. So, yeah, third official.
Okay. Well, I think it's going to become a traditional. It's going to be have to have a certain week of the month associated with it so people can mark it on their calendars. But I don't know, are you on purpose making sure it's on the solstice this year? It's on Wednesday, June 21st?
Well, yes and no. So there's a national effort called Pollinator Week that was started by pollinator.org. They're just a nonprofit organization that really focuses on promoting education and sustainability of all pollinators across multiple, you know, areas. And I learned about that just by volunteering and being interested in pollinators in general, and thought that during that week, they encourage people to do different events to educate people on pollinators. And so I decided, why not do something free and family-friendly for our community? We have a nice space that we've really worked to encourage pollinator habitat on, and it's a great way for people to get up close and see what they can do in their own spaces to promote pollinators in our area.
Great. Maybe we should just kind of give a lay of the landscape of what people will find out at your homestead on June 21st. 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, it says, on the farm, weather dependent. Well, how weather dependent? Completely? Or if it's just a little threatening that you'll hang in there, Jadel? Or can you define?
Yeah, if there's thunder and lightning, then we're not going to encourage people to come out.
Got it.
But if it's just a sprinkle, and so far we haven't gotten any of that. So.
Well, if your event encouraged a sprinkle or two, there's some farmers who would thank you, probably send you cards and gifts.
Including myself.
It's not even fair to say it's been a little uneven, right? It's been just kind of we've been shut out, really, other than a few hundredths of an inch, unless you got a lot more rain than I did on whatever day that was recently. Oh, it was the day of the last farmer's market where it rained a bit in Two Harbors, had to use the windshield wipers and everything, got home and decided we'd had about 1 or 2 hundredths of an inch.
Yeah, I heard some people up in the Silver Creek, like Highway 3 area, actually got a good drenching, and I was pretty envious because we got a misting.
Wow, and they've got clay soils and everything. They can hold that water. Yeah, I need an inch or two a week, Jadel, so things are definitely at a deficit my place. So the Little Waldo Pollinator Party celebration on June 21st, 3 to 6 p.m. What will we find? We'll find vendors, we'll find exhibits, food. You want to just give us a little rundown of what you got in mind?
Yeah, we're going to have some local music from Eddie Ojard, a great piano musician, keyboard musician. So he'll be playing during that time. There'll be a few different organizations here promoting their messages that support pollinators. So, of course, the Lake County Extension Master Gardeners will be here. We have a person from Sugarloaf Cove here that's going to be doing some bumblebee activities. We have some people here from the Soil or Lake County Soil and Water Conservation Districts that will be out here. We have the local elementary Lake County Extension 4-H group that will be out here. They did a really great activity on bumblebees that I got to be involved with towards the end of the school year. And then there'll be some different vendors here, especially supporting the Clover Valley Farm Trail, which we get to be a part of. And then snacks, of course, provided by Louise's Place Cafe and Pantry in Two Harbors. Yeah. And of course, we're going to talk about what's here for kids. So there'll be, of course, an obstacle course for kids, some different stations with activities that will get kids involved with pollinators. And yeah, just some different fun things going on. There'll be some free giveaways that are pollinator friendly. So yeah, lots of fun.
Can I ask, maybe you can help folks understand, you can guarantee observable pollinators because you have the right kinds of diverse plantings on your property. I mean, I assume that you want to have folks be able to observe the native bees in their natural setting. And how have you done that over time? What kinds of things are there that are attracting these pollinators?
Yeah, so it really is all about starting simple and small. If you have a space in your yard or even just some pots on your balcony or front entryway, just planting flowers that support the native pollinators. And of course, over time, it really does go to prove that if you plant them, they will come.
Right.
Just planting some swamp milkweed brings the, you know, monarch butterflies in, and then you're observing the caterpillars and you can watch the whole life stage of these insects and other things. Just planting native trees and shrubs, which we're lucky enough to have a pretty wooded lot, and there's a lot of natural habitat that we leave undisturbed, as well as areas that we're trying to reclaim and plant again. But then just within our own vegetable gardens, if people have a small, you know, raised bed or something that they're growing in, or if they have a small space on their property that they'd like to make a little bit more pollinator-friendly or just even more aesthetically pleasing, there's ways to incorporate a lot of these native plants into everyday gardens, and it really will bring these native pollinators in, and they're the ones ultimately that need the support right now.
I imagine that you'd be happy to talk to folks that show up, but you're going to be quite busy. In the meantime, are there good resources that at the tip of your tongue that you'd typically refer people to if they want to learn about everything from domesticated varieties to the wild flower and shrub opportunities? Good places to go to start learning some of the basics about what's really going to work in our northern climate for having a pollinator garden?
Yeah, for sure. So if anybody is aware of Xerces Society, that would be
they're
easy to find.
Spell that.
Yeah,
though.
It's Xerces.
Thank you. Xerces.
Xerces.org is their website, and they are another international organization, nonprofit organization that does a lot of educational support and even on the ground work with farmers and property owners to really help them understand how they can incorporate sustainable pollinator habitat into their living spaces or, you know, their outdoor living spaces. So they're a great resource. Of course, we're really lucky here in Minnesota to have the Minnesota Bee Lab. And so if you just go to the University of Minnesota Extension website, you can type in Bee Lab and it'll bring you to their website. And there's wealth of information on what you can do to support native bees especially, but they do point you in the direction of sources for all sorts of native pollinators, butterflies, hummingbirds, moths, beetles. So yeah.
Fantastic. Before we started recording, I told you that some of the people a little bit to the west of you had been noticing a little bit of an absence on our landscapes, whatever flowers and shrubs we have around. We hadn't seen that many of the native bumblebees. And I'm wondering, you having better luck over where you are because of what you've got planted? Or it's pretty hard to make your mind up about what the health of the pollinator population is at any one moment. But you told me that there are a lot of factors that might figure into whether we're seeing them and what time they might be coming back.
Yeah, so I mentioned to you before we started that I've heard from quite a few different people that they are seeing the same thing, that there just aren't bees out, and people were actually approaching me about keeping honeybees on their property because the fruit orchards are blooming,
right,
and they're just not seeing the bees. And so what I will say is this is just a theory of mine, knowing how bee life cycles work and such, but last spring, we had a really late frost, and it was right during when queen bumblebees especially were emerging. And I don't know if that did decimate the population just in our local area or in those places that got hit so late. And then certainly there's questions about our winter this last year. Certainly we had a lot of insulation from the snow, but we never really had frost into the ground like we normally do. And I'm not really sure how that would affect bumblebees that overwinter. They certainly are down in the soil or in the plant debris or in cavities beneath the soil. So it makes me wonder. I will say that luckily, because of planting a lot of diversity out here, we've seen more bumblebees lately, but certainly not the number that we've seen in previous years. And I would say that's kind of all around for a lot of the pollinators that I like to look for. Certainly monarchs, we've started to see them, but there's not nearly as many as what there would be by this time, you know, in previous years. And just overall, even the hummingbirds, it feels like there's a few less this year, but it's dry. So that does definitely make an impact on how much nectar flowers produce.
Sure.
And so, animals and insects, any life that's able to move is going to go where there's good food. So,
as a former sugar bush worker, I'm thinking, well, the nectar might be super sweet, but not much of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all connected. And yeah, we really haven't had any moisture since the snow melt. So.
Right. Hopefully it doesn't all come bursting out of the skies at 3 p.m. on Wednesday, June 21st at the annual pollinator party.
Right. Yes, please. Although we'll do a rain dance if it does.
Okay, good. Well, you'll find some way to make lemonade out of that lemon then. Great. Good on you, Jaydell. We're talking with Jaydell Cavillin. Got a snapshot of the pollinator party that's happening on the solstice from 3 to 6 p.m. at her farm, Little Waldo Farm. Address, help people orient where you are exactly relative to Two Harbors.
Yeah, we're on 1845 Waldo Road, so we're just kind of north of Two Harbors, up past the Two Harbors High School, kind of in between the high school and the airport. Yeah, we'll have some markings on the driveway so you can tell that it's us. Watch for our banner at the end of the driveway, and you'll see our red and white farm stand. That's part of the Clover Valley Farm Trails at the end of the driveway. So
excellent. I'll kind of give people a little spoiler alert. If they come at just the right time of the festivities, they might find some giant two-legged bees walking around, and that will tell them for sure they're in the right place.
Yes, we love our walking bees. We can't wait to see them again this year.
they just make an appearance when it's appropriate, and so you just have to maybe hang out the whole 3 hours with Jaydell and company to see the walking bees. Oh, you are a very busy person, Jaydell. You're also involved with the new Clover Valley Farm Trail. Can you give people kind of a heads up on what that includes and how that's going for you out at your farm?
Yeah, it's been really great so far. So we just completed our third Sunday since we opened, and lots of really positive comments from people that are taking the whole route and checking out all of the 11 farms that are part of the trail. All of us have a self-serve farm stand at the end of our driveways that people can check out what local goodness each of us are growing and purchase. It's open noon to 5 every Sunday. And then many of the farmers, if you go to the Clover Valley Farm Trail website, which is just www.clovervalleyfarmtrail.com, can find the map to get on the farm trail to get up all the different farms. And you can also see the different profiles of the 11 different farms that are selling goods on this trail.
Oh, so lovely.
There's a bunch of us that are also doing other days more than just Sunday. There's quite a few that are doing Sundays and Wednesdays. And then there's some that are actually open every day. And I would imagine as tomatoes start coming out of our ears, everybody will be open every day.
Indeed. But it's worth probably checking out before you make a long drive, because I did see that, for instance, you can get an update that one of the farmers was not open on a given Sunday. Nice to know that. And you can check that out very easily at clovervalleyfarmtrail.com. So what do you have in the farm stand this time of year, and how is that going to change as we go through July and August and September?
Yeah, so right now, of course, we just got done with our asparagus harvest, and we're finishing up on rhubarb. But we always have fresh and dried herbs. We like to do a lot of herb gardening here. We also have honey. A lot of times it's Struz's Honey, who is my beekeeping mentor here in town. And then when we have surplus of our own, of course, we'll add that out there too. And then we've been dabbling and doing some baked goods. Of course, everybody has starter plants right now. If you've lost a few things in these recent frosts, there's still plenty of veggie starters and flower starters to get your hands on. So take the drive that way. Yeah, and we'll have more beeswax products and things as the season goes on. Edible flowers and cut flowers. So a little bit of everything. We like to have a good variety out here.
So even though most of the big plant start sales were the past weekend, there are a number of these farm trail stands are still going to have those plants that didn't sell yet, and they'll probably be, if they're tended to well, they'll probably be in great shape.
Oh gosh, everything that I've seen so far at everybody's stand has been really healthy looking, and certainly leftovers at the farmer's market as well. So
indeed. And speaking of the farmer's market, I thought we might wrap up with that. It's the Two Harbors Farmer's Market going back gosh knows how many years now. I don't know if it's 12th or 13th year, but that plugs ahead at the parking lot at the east end of town at the Burlington Station parking lot. You've been participating at that farmer's market for forever yourself, Jadel. How's it shaping up this year? And can you tell us anything about, just kind of give people a lay of the landscape, what we find every Saturday morning at 10 a.m.?
Yeah, it's been growing with each weekend, of course. We have some really awesome lettuce growers that are coming up from Silver Bay. Of course, we have our local Little Italy farm that does their tomato plants, and then they'll be selling tomatoes once they're ready. Lots of different heirloom and interesting varieties. We have mushroom coffees and other small batch roasted coffees there. There's, of course, different crafters there with their products. Lots of different spring vegetables. So now we're certainly going to be seeing more lettuces and radishes and snap peas and things like that. So certainly plant starters, of course, and there's always something fun like delicious baked goods from the Two Harbors Baker. There's been food trucks and music each weekend, so lots of fun stuff there.
I noticed, I stopped by for the first time this past Saturday. I don't think I saw our maple syrup producers there, but are they typically going to be there?
No, they'll definitely be there. Okay. They actually were there the previous two Saturdays, but of course this is planting season and things have to get into the ground.
So
they missed this last one. But
can't be in two places at once, not when the crop, you know, the days to maturity tells you, you got to get that planting done now.
Exactly.
You probably already mentioned it too, the weekly music that will probably be at the farmer's market now through, when is the final day? It's going well into October, at least mid-October till we close out?
Yeah, the last couple of years we've done the up until the very last weekend. So it's every weekend, June through October. So come check it out. There's always something fun.
Yeah, we hope to see you there, and people should check it out because there's stuff to eat right there and there's stuff to take home to prepare, and it'll keep changing. It's a great, great way to spend Saturday morning, and I'm glad that you could fill us in on all of the things that are going on. Well, so many of the things that are going on in this growing local foods and local growers movement. You got your finger on the pulse of it. Thanks for joining us to talk about these things, Jadel. We'll see you at a market, and to everybody else, we'll keep seeing you all on the radio, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for having me, Leo.
Absolutely. That was Jadel Cavillin. She's a small farm operator, a master gardener, and an all-around community educator. You're listening to KTWH.